bought me an iPod. I read that. Well, you know,
good morning. Happy Mother's Day. And today's service is all about being gentle with ourselves. So please open one of the teal paperback hymnals to number 1053. That's 1053. How could anyone? Number 1007, there's a river flowing in my soul.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. Happy Mother's Day and welcome to everyone who's here. Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Church of Fort Myers, where our mission is to love, grow, and serve. My name is Mary Klein-Golbetz. and I'm delighted to be your worship associate today and very honored to be able to be here with you. We've been members of this church for almost 4 or 5 years now, and we found it to be a very warm, welcoming, and active community, and I know that you will all find it that way too. We particularly want to welcome anyone who's new to us today or new to Unitarian Universalism. We're so happy to have you here. And if you are new, you might notice that we have an order of worship. We also have a newsletter that comes by email to our members, but if you'd like to get there, you can open up the narthex and we'll send it to you. So you'll note that in your seats, you have a number of cards, and one of them is this card, which is a connection card. We ask anybody who's new or anybody who has any information that they'd like to share with us to fill out this card and just let us know who you are. It's the greatest gift you can give us is a way to connect with each and every one of you. And you can put this card in the offertory basket. And there's also a blue Hearing Network card that if you or anyone you know needs a little extra loving attention, a meal, a card, a phone call, something like that, you can let us know, and members of the congregation will be happy to serve in that way. Both of those cards can go into the offertory basket at the end of the service. So thank you so much. Today, we're going to be exploring the issue of mercy and gentleness to ourselves as well as others. So we're really honored that you're here to join us for that. And after the service, we invite you all to join us to Hobart Hall, which is out the doors and to the right, for fellowship and coffee and snacks. And if you are new and you pick up a yellow cup, then we'll know that and we'll be able to give you an extra special greeting. So thank you all again and welcome. Our chalice lighter today is Kira Trummel. Kira has been an official member of this church since December, and she feels like it's one of the best decisions that she's ever made. However, another really good decision was to marry her husband, Adam. And they look forward to celebrating 10 years of marriage this January. Kira grew up in Hershey, Pennsylvania, where, according to her, chocolate grows on the trees. In addition to her love of chocolate, she also loves all things Broadway, which has led into her opening her own business called Curtain Call Studios, where she teaches voice, dance, and acting. She feels very strongly that jazz hands should be used in everyday life. So thank you, Kira.
Let's join together in singing the chalice lighting. Please rise in body or spirit.
Love is the spirit of this church.
For number 23, Bring Many Names. This one's a little lesser known, so the choir will sing verse 1, and please join us on each verse thereafter.
Thank you.
Let us join in the Mother's Day proclamation written by Julia Ward Howe. Arise then, women of this day.
Arise, all women who have hearts, whether your baptism be that of water or of fears.
Say firmly, we will not have great questions decided by irrelevant agencies.
Our husbands shall not come to us reeking with carnage for caresses and applause.
Our sons shall not be taken from us to unlearn all that we have been able to teach them of charity, mercy, and patience.
We women of one country will be too tender of those of another country to allow our sons to be trained to injure us.
From the bosom of a devastated earth, a voice goes up with our own. It says, disarm, disarm.
The sword of murder is not the balance of justice. Blood does not wipe out dishonor, nor violence indicate possession.
As men have often forsaken the plow and the anvil at the summons of war, let women now leave all that may be left of home for a great and earnest day of counsel.
Let them meet first as women to bewail and commemorate the dead.
Let them then solemnly take counsel with each other as the means whereby the great human family can live in peace.
And each bearing after her own time the sacred impress, not of Caesar, but of God.
Amen.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Today's Time for All Ages has dates, so it requires a notebook. Okay, so if you are young or young of heart, or you just need to get up and stretch your legs, come on down. Sit with me a second, because I'm sitting. Hi, friends. Hi, friends. So today is Mother's Day. Aww. Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers. Kids, happy Mother's Day, Mom. Right? Yeah, okay. Wow, they're enthused. Okay, so this morning, as I got up and thought, well, okay, it's Mother's Day. It's supposed to be my special day, right? I kind of remembered something. Bear with me because this is going to be a little heavy. I remembered a dear friend of mine called Rachel, and Rachel's sister, Evelyn, was pregnant while I was pregnant with Georgine, and just before Georgie arrived, Evelyn had her baby far too early. And in the end, her baby didn't make it. And when I had Georgine, I thought to myself, wow, I am so lucky. I am so fortunate. Wow, right? And put a new perspective on my role as mother. Because I knew someone who was still a mom. Her child wasn't with her. And so as I sat there, waking up this morning, getting ready to have my breakfast, I thought, oh my gosh, Mother's Day's kind of weird today, because I'm thinking about this person I know and respect and admire who is celebrating and coping with something very different than what I am. And it made me think, like, so Mother's Day isn't exactly for everyone like we see on the IHOP commercial, right? It's not all about pancakes and the bouquet of flowers and that pretty pink card that you're obliged to buy, right? It's not all about that special necklace or the fancy gifts or the, you know, handmade coupons for those dishes you promised to unload eventually, maybe. You know, it's not all about this stuff. There's got to be more involved with Mother's Day. And guess what? Not only is there more involved with Mother's Day, but it's deeply connected to our Unitarian roots as well, right? I know. So I need to talk to you about two fantastic women. The first is Anne Jarvis. You were close. In 1858, she set up Mother's Work Day, which sounds about as opposite to Mother's Day as you can get, but I promise it's not. Mother's Work Day was all about mothers going out into the community and fighting for sanitation and health. Because we were, you know, this carried through the throes of the Civil War, and where Ann Jarvis lived, there was a lot of conflict and a lot of carnage and a lot of very nasty disease, right? Ann Jarvis herself had 11 children, 4 of them made it to adulthood. Disease was running rampant, and a lot of it was simply because people didn't know washing your hands was important, okay? So Ann Jarvis decided, hey, moms, let's get together, and I don't care whether you're a Yankee or whether you're a Confederate, it doesn't matter. We need to start saving lives. We need to start doing something. So the mothers got together and would go into camps. Whether they were on the same side of the Civil War didn't matter. They would go into these camps and they would teach sanitation and they would teach health and they would teach cleanliness and they would help. And it became this big movement to empower women, to empower the community. Next date. Julia Ward Howe was then inspired by Ann Jarvis. And we just all heard Julia Ward Howe's Mother's Day proclamation. We just participated in it. And now that you have the context of Civil War in your head, you can kind of see why we're making references to carnage and war in this. She wrote the Mother's Day proclamation urging mothers to fight for peace in their community, to put down the dishes, to forget about making the beds, get out there and work for peace in your community one day each year. Let's do it. And she actually translated this Mother's Day proclamation into a bunch of languages and traveled the whole world urging other mothers to do the same. And she wanted everyone to join in Mother's Day on the second Sunday in June of 1872. That was the very first one held in Boston. And for 30 years after that, America celebrated this Mother's Day for peace. And we celebrated the idea that mothers could stand up and get out there and work for peace and justice in their local communities. So how did we get from this to the IHOP commercial? It's kind of a big jump, right? Well, the answer sort of lies with Ann Jarvis's daughter, Anna, who was so impressed by her mother that she lobbied for an annual nationally recognized day of appreciating mothers for all that they were doing for the community, right? For all that they were working for the justice, for the peace. And in 1908, the first Mother's Day service at Anna's church took place. And then by 1914, Mother's Day was declared a national day. It was a big deal. And that was 3 years after Julia Ward Howe had died. So she never saw the IHOP commercial. But I kind of wonder what she would think if she did. And it kind of makes me wonder, like, for my friend who is going through a very different Mother's Day experience, how are we as mothers united? If we have children, if our children aren't with us, there are all kinds of painful, difficult relationships, right? And wonderful ones as well. But how are we all united? And I think the answer lies with Julia Ward Howe's Mother's Day proclamation. And it's that idea that mothers, we have this incredible desire for peace and goodness for our children. And while all of humanity is flawed sometimes, right? None of us are perfect. I try really hard, though. I'm just not quite there. We try really hard to make that peace for you. And so on this Mother's Day, while the IHOP commercial's great, and I promise you your mother will appreciate the flowers and the card, and she will love a stack of pancakes probably, I would. Also, let's think about the bigger picture and that Julia Ward Howe's original intent of having a Mother's Day for peace. And now, let's go to class.
Let us join in singing Go Now in Peace as we sing our children and teachers to their classes.
Now is the time in our service when we bring into this circle of nurture and love the joys and the sorrows of this community. Our member Valerie Stevens asked that we remember Raymond Realtor, who passed last May 23rd, 2015, whose ashes are in our memorial garden. And may she be held in love and light today. Knowing that there are mixed feelings and experiences in the room on this Mother's Day, we invite you into a circle of care, a spoken meditation followed by a time of vibrational sound with crystal bowls, and then we will close our meditation. In religious community, we share our joys and our triumphs, our sorrows and our broken places.
In this circle of care, we make space for the complexity of life, the myriad experiences that bless and break our hearts. The truth of human experience dictates that on any given day, we each come to the table with hearts in different places. It is especially so on this day, invented to honor women who nurture.
In this circle of care, we honor the truth that mothering is not, and never will be, quantified in one single descriptor. Mothering can be elusive or infuriating, fulfilling or confusing, commonplace or triumphant. It exists in the everyday experiences of each person. There is no human being that is not connected to or disconnected from a mother.
And so we honor the complexity of experience, writ large in flowered platitudes, but here, in this space, laid bare, honoring the truth in each of our hearts. There is room for all in this circle.
If you have carried a child or children, whether or not they came to be born, we see you.
If you have fervently wished to do so, and circumstances of fate made it impossible, we see you.
If you love children we cannot see, whether because of death or estrangement, we see you.
If you never wanted to be a mother, we see you.
If you are a happy mother to other people's children, as an educator, an auntie, or a foster parent, we see you.
If your mother hurt you, physically or emotionally, we see you.
If you had no mother at all, we see you.
If your mother is or was your best friend, we see you.
If your gender says you are not a mother, and yet you take on the role of nurturer, we see you.
If you wonder whether your mothering has been enough, we see you.
And if yours is a different truth altogether, we honor your unspoken story.
Thank you. There is room for all in this circle. May it be so today and always.
And now, during the music meditation, you're invited to offer a stone of intention, which you may find at the front pillars or at the sides. It could be for someone or something on your heart today, or an intention you wish to live into in the weeks, months, and years ahead. Whatever it is you offer this day, it's my prayer that it brings you peace. May our prayers be heard and our hearts be restored.
Please remain seated as we join together in singing number 95, There Is No More. solo will be sung by Sarah Osmer DiMattina. This American folk tune has beautiful pastoral imagery and celebrates parenting that has good intentions and works hard to provide for the family. And on a deeper level, morning stars represent parents and ancestors who have passed on, and daybreak is a metaphor for the light of love between parent and child.
So I was having a wonderful moment with my daughter, and she said, I want to FaceTime Grammy. And so we called, this is a video conferencing thing. And so I could see my mom's face, and she looked sad. She had tears in her eyes. And I said, Mom, what's wrong? And she said, I just realized now that this Sunday was Mother's Day. Because my maternal grandmother died in 2009. And so my mom realized that she didn't have to send a Mother's Day card. And it was sad. And so we had to talk
with my daughter about being sad and how we give hugs when we're sad and we give hugs even when we're far, far away. But the beauty of this song that you sang and offered is that those hugs still come from far away. Now, not all of us know the hugs from our meditation. We offered the understanding that many people have different experiences of mothering and nurturing, and yet today is a day to honor nurturing. And I was swept up in this moment with my mom with the sense of how epic it was and how, when we have our new member gatherings, I often explain the five smooth stones of intention as the sort of touchstones of our liberal religion, and one of the stones is the stone of hope. It's that understanding that there's something about human living that's tragic, that we don't quite know where we come from. I mean, we know we're stardust, but there's a lot of mystery involved. We're born into this world, and then someday we die, and we witness the death of people that we love, and there's something just epic and sweeping about it all, and so here we are, laying bare that epic sense of the tragedy of being human. And yet with that, and the song offers a sense of hope. Our ancestors are sowing seeds. They're in the field of plowing, that there's still activity of loved ones that remain within us and continue to nurture us if we're but willing to sing the song and to awaken and see the bright morning stars. But as I was swept up in this epic feeling, I was brought to mind the line from a poem by Mary Oliver that ends with, "Now tell me, what do you plan to do with this one wild and precious life? If there's not anything that you would take away from you each Sunday, it's that question. What do you plan to do? Not just what you wish or what you pray for, but what will you plan for? What sacred intentions will you sow into the field of your inner life so that they may take root and bloom and grow, just like the beauty out in the gardens all around us that provide so much life and love and habitat for every winged thing?" I had the opportunity a few months back to have a really wonderful interaction with a man who was coming from up north, wasn't here very long, but he was struggling with a cancer prognosis that he had received. And some months later, somewhat recently, he sent me an email and let me know how he was doing, which was really wonderful because I'd been thinking about him and I was just wondering if I could dig up his email address or find a way to check in with this friend from up north. And he sent me an email and he said, "You know, one of the things that stuck with me of what you said to me, you said, go gently with yourself." Now, I don't know where I heard that. I'm sure I didn't make it up. I'm sure it came from some smarter person than me. But what he said in that email, he said, "Allison, I hope you preach a sermon on it." Ta-da. So held in the tension of what do you plan to do with your one wild and precious life, is also the balancing of understanding the invitation to go gently with yourself. Okay, has anybody ever played that game, Uncle? Did you play it when you were a kid? Do you know what I'm talking about? Can anybody want to come up? Or just to like, okay, so kind of how it goes, we're not going to really do it because it hurts. And we're about, do you remember?
Well, kind of.
Okay, so we, wasn't it this?
Yeah, and then
you go like this and you just,
and
something, there's a struggle. And like, basically you're trying to like, okay, I got her. There she is. Are you? Hi, shoulder. So it's this moment of struggle where finally, I remember playing this game where I would end up just, you know, like this and screaming, "Uncle, Uncle," but there was this pride that maybe I could take it. I could take it a little longer until finally I had to shout out, "Mercy, mercy me. Uncle, okay, I've got it. It's enough. Oh, why? I feel like sometimes this is a familiar feeling. My body may not be in this gesture, but my soul is. My inner life. Sometimes, I don't know if you have these moments in your life where you're just yelling, Uncle! Uncle! The invitation is to try to get to the point where you're not ever having to yell out, Uncle. And this is of no offense to uncles out there, by the way, who really don't have a special day, I don't think, unless Hallmark's looking for more money, which they always are. But in this notion of nurturing, and of nurturing the self, how to get to the point before uncle, because life's going to pull uncle on you, no matter what. That's how life works. There's suffering, there's pain, there's sorrow, there's loss, there's transition, there's sadness, there's grief, there's struggle. It's always there. And yet there is also so much great potential in that moment. I've shared this story with you before, but in seminary we called it that we would say, I'm in a fog, which was an acronym, AFOG, another opportunity for growth. Fill in the blanks. So there are these uncle moments where there's also potential of even getting before the uncle moment, that breaking point, that point of, you know, when you stub your toe and you just break down and cry and it's really not about the toe, or you bang your elbow, your funny bone, and hit it onto something and then it just causes like a nervous breakdown. Yeah, that's not... It's probably not about the elbow. But we live in this culture where it seems as if we're not allowed to have tender places. And my dear ones, this is a place I hope you know you can bring your tenderest spots. One of my favorite books, and I remember reading this in a time when I was a young adult and I was overcommitted. I had lots of plans about what I wanted to do with my wild and precious life, but it was too much. I was saying yes everywhere, and I was finally crying uncle. And I remember at the time, one of my karate teachers, she gave me a book by Pema Chodron called The Places That Scare You, A Guide to Fearlessness in Difficult Times. Pema Chodron is a Tibetan Buddhist nun, and in that book, she wrote about something called the bodhicitta, which is the sense of, the bodhicitta means an open heart, or an opening or enlightened mind, and that we want to cultivate bodhicitta in our lives, but the places where that comes from are in the most tender, sore spots. And that there is an opportunity when one feels a rising resentment and fear and bitterness and anger and all those crunchy, crusty walls that can get put around the heart. There's potential there to allow our hearts to break open and awaken that open mind, that enlightened heart. So that in fact, those places that are tender, that the world around us seems to want to call weakness, are in fact places of great strength. Or it's those places where we experience grief and loss, where the tears come. Those are the places of strength where one can awaken a universal compassion for every single other human being on this earth who has suffered, thus becoming part of something so much larger than yourself. It doesn't take the pain away, but to suddenly be caught up in this larger flow. This larger river or ocean that can support, that can strengthen like a mountain. In the Christian New Testament, he said it is the meek who will inherit the earth. In the ministry of Jesus, as it is told in all the stories, he was the kind of guy who liked to turn things upside down. The rich, oh honey, you're just poor. You're poor in your spirit. The strong, why? There's something weak that needs to be loved and held tenderly there. There's a quote from, and I'm like, Jen, now I have to go read my quote. the letter of Paul that he wrote to the Colossians. It's attributed to him. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone. Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. So often, to me, I don't know about you, my experience is that sometimes in the dominant culture we're taught to punish ourselves for not being enough. And I'm not saying that each of you do not have the potential to begin to ask yourself what you plan to do with this wild and precious life, because each of you have your own beautiful vitality to bring into this world. And yet, go gently. Don't punish yourself. This kind of thinking, of course, comes from a culture that does not value vulnerability and encourages shame. This is something that the researcher, Brené Brown, she's a white researcher from Texas, University of Houston, I believe. She's a researcher and a professor there, and she got real famous for her TED Talk. She's written lots of books. One of my favorite is The Gifts of Imperfection. And what she talks about is how, again, just like the Buddhist nun, just like so many people from so many different wisdom traditions, she's bringing in this secular idea that vulnerability is actually a place from which we can live wholeheartedly. Now, vulnerability can be different. If you come from a historically marginalized group, sometimes vulnerability, it's like, I don't want to be vulnerable. I'm vulnerable every single day of my life. God, please. I have to go uphill every day of my life. Let me rephrase and understand what vulnerability means. This isn't about what some oppressive dominant culture system is putting on you. It's about living through an inner awareness of those tender places. And instead of blocking them all up or stuffing them down and not confronting them, what Brené Brown offers is to go to those places, which are often places that are scary, to go to those places and to sit there. And from that place comes great connection and comes strength. She calls this, you know, authentic living or wholehearted living. And it's often difficult to sit in those places, which is why I really always welcome people to come here into this space and, you know, get that Kleenex out if you need it. It's okay. It's okay to come here and to be who you are and to rest in those tender, beautiful places. Because it's from those places that the greatest strength and growth and learning can come. But why is this so difficult in our culture to acknowledge? Well, there's lots of reasons. And some of it's because of the church. And some of this was actually addressed in the 19th century. The white universalist theologian and preacher, Hosea Ballou, he got really famous for writing this treatise on atonement. And he was bringing the message of the universal love of God. That there was no saint and sinner, or sure, you know, you might do something in this life, but ultimately everyone was to be saved. Because basically, if God loves people, why the hell is hell here? What? That doesn't make sense. So now I'll read you some from Ballou so you can hear his own voice. I really like it. I think he's pretty sassy. A false education has riveted the error in the minds of thousands that God's law required endless misery to be inflicted on the sinner. How often do professed Christians address the Almighty and say, "Hadst thou been just to have marked iniquity, we should long since have been in the grave with the dead and in hell with the damned." This address amounts to nothing more or less than a complimental accusation against God of injustice. It surprises me to think now professed Christians will contend for the honor and glory of God in a way that renders his character infinitely inglorious and dishonorable. Preach it, Ballou. Universalism was a balm to the spirit for those who had closed their hearts to any hope, who were raised by this fear of God instead of understanding God, or, you know, we'll blow it out to us now, to the spirit of love that is embracing the God of vengeance and hellfire only modeled behavior of vengeance and hellfire in the here and now. Oh, I see some nods. Fear and hate to subordinates. And so there you start creating those power structures again that then human beings are going to live out in lots of nasty ways. And so with this, again, this empire system where power is lorded over, it begins to create a sense that you can't show weakness. You have to show that you are the powerful. You are the one to lord it over. So as we take universalism now into the 21st century, universalism is this circular, warm embrace of life, inviting us into power with, to embrace and confront life in its joys and sorrows, and still to remain on the side of loving kindness, of justice, and of faithfulness. Today is a day that celebrates the power of nurturing. You may or may not have received the nurturing that you needed, but my greatest, greatest prayer is that you might receive it here. Because everybody needs it. Because in this community, it's a place of nurturing the spirit so we can heal the world. If you find yourself in a place of despair and lament, go gently. If you find yourself screaming out, "Uncle, Uncle," go gently. And as inspired by the words of Julia Ward Howe, go gently in your being for a larger cause. To arise, all you who have hearts, whether your baptism be that of water or of fears, to go gently and live in the ways that teach justice, mercy, and patience. To go gently whereby the great human family can live in peace, each bearing after their own time the sacred impress, not of Caesar, but of God, Goddess, Spirit of Love. In the name of womanhood and of humanity, go gently and promote the interests of peace. Blessed be.
Please rise in body or spirit and join together in singing number 100, Peace Like a River.
I've got peace like a river.
We are a giving and generous church. Each month, we designate a community organization as our community sharing organization of the month. This month, it is Planned Parenthood, with whom we have a long and wonderful relationship, and Veronica Schell is here to tell us more about Planned Parenthood. All undesignated funds in our collection today will go to Planned Parenthood. If you want to contribute to the life of the church, you're welcome to find this envelope and put it in the offertory. And now we'll welcome Veronica to tell us a little bit more about Planned Parenthood. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. This is not my first time here. I've come to several small events, like the Social Justice Committee meeting, and met with a lot of you. I see a lot of friendly faces. This is the first time I've been to a service, so I just want to say the love in here is really palpable, and thank you so much for letting me be here today. I really, really appreciate it. Like was just mentioned, I'm Veronica Schell. I'm the local volunteer and advocacy coordinator on behalf of Planned Parenthood of Southwest and Central Florida. And I'm going to take a wild guess and say most of you have heard of us, but just in case, we are a medical provider, and our main focus is on preventative and reproductive health care, right? Unfortunately, we faced a lot of challenges this year. Spanning as far back as last year, legislative session, we faced the passage of the 24-hour mandatory delay waiting period for our patients, which has really been an undue burden on them. Last year, we also faced the release of fraudulent videos. We were obviously cleared of all charges and everything, and the people behind the videos have been indicted. Thank you. And then we also faced the tragedy in Colorado Springs last November, which was really unfortunate. And then this past legislative session, we faced the passage of House Bill 1411, which among many, many other things, because it's a 14-page document pretty much targeted to Planned Parenthood, they're going to defund us, which means that we will lose a lot of grants that go to discount and to create free and discounted mammograms and long-acting reversible contraception to the patients that need it the most. So it's been a tough year, but throughout all of that, we have had a lot of positivity, like everybody in this room. So thank you so much. We have had an outpouring of support from donors, from volunteers that have really stepped up to help us out in any way that they could. So we really thank you so much for dedicating your time, your passion, your support, your money, any way you can. So thank you so much for being here today, and thank you for letting me speak. And I will be here to answer any questions afterwards, if you all have any for me. But I wanted to end by saying Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers and mother-like figures. Couldn't be here without you. Thank you so much.
The morning offering will now be gratefully given and received. Thank you.
Lightning was desire. This old house would have burnt down a long time ago.
Make me an angel that flies from Montgomery. Make me a poster of an old rodeo. To believe in this living is just a hard way to go. When I was a young girl, well, I had me a cowboy. He weren't much to look at, just a free rambling man. But that was a long time, and no matter how I try, yes, they just flow by like a broken down dam. the hard way to go. There's flies in the kitchen, well I can hear them buzzing. I ain't done nothing since I woke up today.
How the hell can a person go to work in the morning and come home in the evening and have nothing to say?
Make me an angel that flies from Montgomery. Make me a poster of an old rodeo. Just give me one thing that I can hold on to believe in this living is just a hard way to go. To believe in this living is just a hard way to go.
With gratitude, let us join, and please rise in body or spirit and speak these words as we receive your generosity this morning and much to Planned Parenthood. By the work of our hands and the work of our hearts, our love is made real. May we be grateful for all that is given and grateful for all that is shared. And now let us join in singing Carry the Flame as we extinguish the chalice this Sunday.
Our closing words today are from Ralph Stockman. Nothing is so strong as gentleness, and nothing is so gentle as real strength.